Heavenly Father, we want to come to You once again. Father, we come entreating You and Your Holy Spirit that He would teach us tonight, Father. Father, we want to be able to share our faith and do it without any fear, without being afraid. And Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight to glean an understanding of how that we might depend upon You and depend upon Your Holy Spirit when we have those opportunities to present the Lord Jesus Christ to someone. Lord, I pray that You would teach us tonight. Pray Your Holy Spirit will give us the understanding. And Father, I pray that You would lead me in every word that I share tonight. Thank You, Father, for Your Word, which is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, tonight we praise You for it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Sharing Jesus without fear. You might ask, is that even possible? Because sometimes it seems like an impossibility. It also might be one of the reasons why you don't share your faith is because you're afraid to. Or maybe you have many other reasons. Well, tonight I want to begin by, first of all, helping you, hopefully I can help you, to overcome your fear of sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to do that, first we must identify the problem. There are many reasons why people do not share their faith. There are six main reasons, or the top reasons, that Bill Fay shares in this presentation, and I'd like to share them with you. The first one is this: being afraid of being rejected. How many of you feared being rejected? Let me see your hands. I think all of us have feared at one time being rejected when we were sharing our faith. There is no stronger pain than the pain of rejection. You and I know what that feels like in personal relationships when we are rejected. To reject someone or to be rejected, it just means to refuse to accept or to refuse to submit to or to refuse to believe. And that's what we're dealing with because we're presenting Christ, and sometimes people don't accept that and they refuse to believe. They refuse to accept what you're sharing. But we need to see that the only one that we need to worry about rejecting us is God. We don't need to be worrying about the people that we're sharing with, whether they're going to accept or reject. Of course, we want them to accept. But the only person we need to worry about rejecting us is God. And if you're a believer, He accepts you. He does not reject you. In fact, we're told in Ephesians 1:6 that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in Christ. And if God accepts you, why do you need to be afraid of others rejecting you? Let me give you a couple verses you can write down. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So in other words, God is on your side. You don't need to fear. In fact, the Proverbs tell us it's the fear of man that brings the snare. We don't need to be afraid as we're out representing our Heavenly Father. It says down in verse 33 of that same chapter, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." The answer is there is no one that can bring a legitimate charge against God's elect because God has justified us. Amen? So to overcome your fear of rejection, you need to understand what successful evangelism is. Let me tell you what successful evangelism is. Is it winning someone to Christ? Is that successful evangelism? Successful evangelism is simply sharing your faith and living your life for Jesus Christ. It has nothing whatsoever to do with bringing anyone to the Lord. Folks, we get into this mentality that if I don't win somebody, I haven't been successful. Folks, the success lies in you doing it. The success lies in you being obedient to the Lord to go and make disciples. That's where the success lies. Not in whether you make a convert or not. And by the way, if you make a convert, then that person didn't get saved because he's one of your converts. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that has to do the work. He's the one that has to open up the heart. And if you understand the sovereignty of God in salvation, you realize you have nothing to do with it. It's all God. And I'll tell you something as a personal testimony. The gentleman that shared Christ with me, he shared with me several times. And the last time he shared with me, the day that I responded to the gospel as God moved my heart, he had walked in the door with a 12-pack of beer. And I don't know if he had in mind, if I can't win them, I'll join them. I don't know if that's what he had in his mind. But folks, God convicted him of that. And I don't even know if he even got any of it to his mouth before he started talking about Christ again. And I don't know if any of us that were sitting in the room had a chance to get any of that in our system as he was sharing Christ. And God began to move on our hearts that night. This afternoon I was talking with someone and he was telling me he was having some struggles. And the only answer that I could tell him that I understand from Scripture is Jesus Christ and His Word, the power of His Word, can set you free. And it is your desire there that you have to trust Him. But folks, we need to get away from this Windham mentality. Bill Faye says, people do not put their faith in Christ because we force them to believe. They put their faith in Christ because God uses us to point out the truth. He further says, when people reject your message, it is not you they reject. They are rejecting Jesus and God's Word. We need to realize that. They're not rejecting us. I remember times walking through the neighborhoods out where I live and knocking on doors and things like that. And I remember walking up to someone's house and I had one of the youth with me from the church and he was outside doing some work and I didn't even get 10 feet from him. He said, I don't want to hear it. Get out of my yard. And so that's what we did. We turned on our heels and we walked out of the yard. And the youth was like, well, why didn't you tell him? I said, well, it helps when you got a ready audience, to talk to someone. And you're going to see how simple of a process that this is tonight to share your faith and to share the Scriptures and let the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit do the work. Not you. Very little things that you'll have to remember. In fact, you're going to see tonight that you're going to be able to use your Bible. You're going to be able to write down some things in your Bible that will help you in the process to remember what you need to do. But folks, we need to get away from feeling like that they're going to reject us. Let me give you the second fear. And that is afraid of what my friends will think. How many of you didn't come to Christ immediately when someone shared with you because you were worried about what your friends were going to think? Well, folks, when that time came in my life, I responded and my friends were sitting in the room. They were sitting there with me. In fact, one of them got up before I did and he went to the back room and he came out, tears going down his cheeks and everything. And he said, Steve, I'm not going to play in that band anymore. And I thought, yeah, right, because he quit me 3 or 4 times. And he came out and he said, I've given my life to Christ. And I didn't say a word. And then, of course, my friend that was doing the sharing, he turned to me as if I was next in line. And I was. God spoke to my heart. But folks, we need not to be afraid of what our friends will think. In fact, they're looking at your life. They see what your life is like, right? And you have one of two choices. You can share your faith or you can say nothing and in your silence, love your friends right into hell. See, they're not going to make it to heaven if you never say anything to them. And if you love your friends and you're the type of friend that the Bible talks about, then you will open up your mouth in love and share with them. You will show the love that you have for them. And folks, you also need to remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let me just ask you this simple question. Who are you worrying about? You worrying about your friends or are you worrying about what God thinks? See, we have to change our perspective. We have to change the way we're perceiving this. And you can deny God by simply being silent, by not saying anything at all. Well, let me give you a third fear. I can't share with my coworkers. Your co-workers are those who watch how you live each day. And you need to understand that you are sharing with them whether you realize it or not, whether you say anything or whether you don't. They're watching your life. They're seeing your life lived out before them. And you're being a testimony to them. You're either being a good testimony or you're being a bad testimony. It's one of the two. And they're watching your life. Same way at school. You say, well, I can't share with the people I go to school with. Folks, that's your mission field. Your mission field is where God has you every day, either on your job or either at school. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:16 that we are to live a certain way in this world because people are watching us and because we want to give glory to God. It says, let your light so shine before all men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you want your life to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see the first three fears. Let me give you a fourth one. I don't know enough. Have you ever felt like that? I don't know enough. I don't have enough information to be able to share. I'm kind of inadequate. I love what Bill Fay says. He said, I find that the excuse I don't know enough usually comes from someone who has been a Christian for 10 years or more. When I meet someone who tells me this, he says, I like to tease them by saying this. The problem is you've been sitting around accumulating information for so long that you're spiritually constipated. He says you need to get rid of some of the information. Folks, some of us know so much. Like I said this morning, we have pride sometimes that comes in with that. We get puffed up because we know so much. And I look at it this way. If you've been a Christian for 10 minutes, you have something to say. You have something to share. Every one of us has a testimony. Even our little ones running around that have trusted Christ, they have a testimony. Let me show you a testimony. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 22. Now, when you read the book of Acts, the first 12 chapters are dominated by Peter, and then the last remaining chapters are dominated by the Apostle Paul. In Acts 22, you find the mob about ready to kill Paul. They were ready to take him out, if I could use those terms. And he asked the one that was with him if he could speak to the people. And so it says in verse 40 of chapter 21, when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and he motioned with his hands to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying, men, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he had spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you are all today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem, to be punished. And now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Folks, that is a testimony. And he has an opportunity once again to share it over in chapter 26. It's simply telling what happened in your life. All of us come into the kingdom of God the same way. But not all of us are found in the same circumstances when God interrupts our life. When God comes in and invades us, if you will. He opens up our eyes and our heart. Folks, I know I wasn't searching for God, and most of the people sitting in here wasn't searching for God either. You say, well, I was brought up in the church. I was brought up in the church too. And walked out of it when I was 11 years old. Folks, you have a testimony. If Jesus Christ is real to you, you have something to say. So you don't need to be afraid of not knowing enough. Don't be spiritually constipated, right? The fifth reason why some people don't share is because they're afraid of losing their friends and their relatives. And let me just ask you this question. Are we guaranteed a happy ending when we share our faith with our friends and family? I mean, think about that. I mean, do we think that when we share with them, immediately they're going to embrace? Hopefully that they will. I have found in some cases family is the hardest. But according to Scripture, Jesus came to divide. You ever thought about that? We're told over in Luke 12, verse 51 and following, Jesus said, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Folks, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, when you surrender your life to Christ, it may cost you every relationship that you have. That's why you don't need to be afraid of sharing with your friends, folks. You need to go back and share with them. That's exactly what I did when I came to Christ. I went back and started talking to my friends, and I found out who were really my friends. And I also had the opportunity to see some of my friends come to faith in Christ. Some of you were chuckling when you came in because you saw some of the pictures on the screen. Yeah, three of them was me. Back when I was in that whole rebellion stage playing. I was 16 years old in those pictures. Isn't that something? I had done by that time so many different types of drugs. And I hung around with people that were doing those types of things. So you think I thought about God? Didn't think about Him at all. Except for on those times when I got so high and I was afraid I'd never come out of that. I remember sometimes at night, higher than a kite, praying, "God, get me off of this." You know, you make all those promises. You're like, who was the prophet that ran from God and he got on the boat? And you remember the storm that came and all the people on the boat, they were offering up their sacrifices and they were praying to their gods. Right, Jonah? Well, I think I was doing the same thing. "Lord, if you get me off of this, I'll do this, I'll do that." But what would happen, and I found, is I'd get off one aspect of it and I'd lean heavier on something else. Folks, it wasn't until I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ till I found any freedom from those things in my life. Some things left immediately, some things took some time. I tell you one thing God used that took time, and that was a filthy mouth that I had. I had every foul language that would come out of my mouth during that time. And God cleaned that up while I was working, loading trucks and working around other people that had filthy mouths. And that's where God chose to clean my mouth up at and to give me a chance to witness to people there. So when you surrender your life to Christ, it may cost you those relationships. I've had some people that were my friends that I don't see them anymore or associate with them. And it's not because of anything that I've chosen. It's just simply that they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the gospel. So you truly have to die to yourself and you have to follow Christ and leave your loved ones behind and pray for them and pray that God will use you with them and bring them to faith in Him. Well, let me give you the second reason, and that's what we're going to respond off tonight, is simply this: I don't know how to share. How many of you felt like that? I just don't know how to share. Well, many don't share their faith because they feel that they don't know how, or they feel inadequate. And many still attempt to share through their inadequacy, but because they become entangled in the process, get a little confused, they give up. So if you don't know how to share your faith, listen, it's not because you haven't heard how to do it. I know I'm not the first preacher to stand in this pulpit at Biltmore Baptist Church and to tell you how to share your faith. If I know anything about the former preachers that have stood behind this pulpit, I know that they had a heart's desire to reach the lost and a heart's desire that you would reach them. So I know it's not the first time you've heard this. But I do hope that our time together tonight will whet your appetite for sharing with the lost. So first we identified the problem. We see six possible problems that occur there, six excuses. Let me give you the second way we deal with this. We must drop the excuses. And so now that we've dealt with them, we just need to get them out of the way. Because folks, it really narrows down to this. If you don't share, it's simply disobedience. Because we're told in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, to go therefore and make disciples. We've been given a great commission. Bill Faye says, if you wish to experience the level of joy so many others have found, you will have to drop those excuses for not sharing your faith. You will have to practice obedience to the Great Commission. And not only will this impact the lives of your loved ones, giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to draw them to Christ, but you will also experience a new depth in your relationship with God that you never experienced before. After all, God promised, I will be with you. Wait until you see what God will do with an ordinary person like you. He was obedient in sharing his faith. I know many lay people that are more effective than preachers. And folks, I don't think for a moment that all the people that come to Christ are people that come in churches and hear it from the pulpit. Folks, it happens a lot of times on a personal, one-on-one relationship. That's why I tell you, you know, invite someone to come to church. Invite someone to be your guest. They will come under the hearing of the truth, but they will also find out that you care about them enough to invite them. And that will open up an even greater opportunity for you to go back later and to talk one-on-one with them and to share with them. Well, I want to go through the Share Jesus questions. One person said about this approach to evangelism, the questions will allow people to share their hearts, then the Scriptures allow the Holy Spirit to change their hearts. I want to give you five questions, and these Share Jesus questions, they begin as conversation joggers. They can be used in any order, and they can be used at any point in a conversation. And the whole purpose of these first five questions is to find out where God is at work in a person's heart. That's what they are. They're tests to see where God is working. That's why they can be used in any order. But tonight I'm going to give them to you in order, and I hope you have your pen and pencil ready. And I want to give you these first five questions. The first one is this. Do you have any spiritual belief? Do you have any spiritual belief? That is a good starting point. Folks, you could start anywhere in a conversation and inject that type of question. Do you have any spiritual belief? Because most people will either answer yes and share a little bit about that, or they'll answer no. And if they answer no, you just move on to the next question. Or if they answer yes, you let them share. See, the key is here, and I'm going to tell you about the principle in just a minute, is that you want to be silent, you want to share the questions, and you want to let them talk. You're not going to respond to any of these questions. But what you're going to do is listen. Listen to what they're saying. Because God the Holy Spirit will give you an opportunity to respond off what they're saying. The first one is, do you have any kind of spiritual belief? The second one, to you, who is Jesus Christ? Now, a religious person might answer it this way. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He might answer it in some of those ways. But when you find someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what his answer usually is? He is my Lord and my Savior. You catch the personal aspect of that? He's mine. He's my Lord. And see, again, you can inject these questions at any point, but listen, you're wanting to listen to what they have to say. Third question, do you think that there is a heaven or hell? Now, Bill Fay, as he's sharing this, and as we go through this class in the next few weeks, he'll share this. He says he was talking with one lady, and immediately she said no. As if to say, I don't believe in a heaven or a hell. And then when he went to the fourth question, listen to what she said. If you were to die, where would you go? And she said, heaven. You see, because the third question started at the head, the fourth question went to the heart. Because most people you run into believe they're going to heaven, don't they? And then you ask the next question. Why would God let you in? Or if it's heaven, why? Why would God let you in heaven? E.E. uses that question a lot. If you were to stand before God right now, why would He let you in? And then, of course, the fifth question, and it really springs off these others. If what you are believing is not true, would you want to know? Now, he has shared in this process that he has never had a no that stuck. And by the way, if you get a no to your response, it's over with. You're done. But what you're hoping for is an opportunity to go further. If what you're believing is not true, would you want to know it? Most people would want to know. Would you want to know that? If what you were believing was not true? Now, again, I want to remind you of the principle. That's simply this. When you ask these questions, no matter what the responder says, you should never answer. You're not asking these questions so that you have an opportunity to comment on their responses. You're asking these questions as a spiritual thermometer. You want to find out what God is doing. You want to find out that where they are in this process, because folks, somebody may have come before you and have watered seed. You might be that one that has an opportunity to see God give a harvest. Or you might, again, be another person watering seed. But the principle is simply this: if you really care and you really love someone, you will listen attentively. And so what you need to do as you listen, you need to listen to what they're saying. Whether they're dealing with problems like loneliness or emptiness or pain or anger. See, that will allow you to discern what God is doing. Now let me say something about the power of Scripture, because after you do the fifth question, if what you are believing is not true, would you want to know, and you're given the permission to go further, now is when you're going to have the opportunity to share the Scripture. Now you've already learned at this point that you can't fail when you are obedient to share your faith, because successful evangelism is not hinged on whether you win somebody. Successful evangelism is you being obedient to share. When we look at the power of Scripture, there are some things that we see. What do we see? We see it penetrates the heart, and it changes the heart towards God's Son. Do you believe that the Word of God is powerful? It says over in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Folks, the Word of God that you hold right there in your hands is a powerful Word. And that is why when you get to this point, you're going to use the Word of God and you're going to let the Word of God speak for itself. Now let me give you some Scripture principle, because there are two principles at work when you share the Scriptures. The first one is this, and it comes from Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the second one comes from Luke 10:26. When Jesus approached a man who was reading the law, he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" In other words, Jesus asked, "What does this say to you?" So what you're going to do when you have the opportunity to move from question five into the second process, you're going to take your Bible, you're going to open up to the first passage of Scripture, which is Romans 3:23, and you're going to turn it and you're going to hand it to the person that you're sharing with. And you're going to ask him to read Romans 3:23 out loud. Why? Because faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. And then what you're going to do, you're going to ask them this question: what does this say to you? That's all you're going to ask. You're going to do the first verse, Romans 3:23. You're going to hand it to them. And they're going to read out loud, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, folks, where you go from here, a lot of times hinges on what they say. And a lot of times you might not even get to share all seven Scriptures. But to help you in the process and to help you to remember where to go, you're going to take in your Bible and you're going to write in the top margin with your Bible upside down the next Scripture that you're going to go to. So if you're in Romans 3:23, the next Scripture is Romans 6:23. And you're going to write right at the top, Romans 6:23, so you know right where to go. You see, very little for you to remember. And folks, the more that you do this, you will end up memorizing the process. So the first scripture is Romans 3:23. The second scripture is Romans 6:23. And you're going to hand your Bible to them. They're still holding it. And you're going to turn to Romans 6:23 and you're going to ask them to read it how? Out loud. And why are you asking them to do this? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You want them to read it out loud. You want them to hear what they're reading. It's so easy, folks, when you're sharing and you're stumbling all over yourself to try to take matters in your own hands and share things without showing these things. I have even found in the admonishing process that we were talking about this morning that it helps to take your Bible and show it to the person, the scriptures that you're referring to when you're seeking to correct them. Show them the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. It is living. So you're at Romans 6:23 and he reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And what are you going to ask them after they read that verse? What does this say to you? And listen, if they share a wrong response of what this says, you're going to ask them to read it again. Because what you're doing is you're letting the Holy Spirit do the work. This is His Word. And folks, all you're doing at this point, you're in the turning pages business, right? Your job now is to turn pages and to stay out of God's way and let Him do the work. So you have Romans 3:23, you have Romans 6:23, and you've written at the top of your margin, upside down, you know, you have your Bible upside down, your own Romans 6:23, and you're going to write John 3:3, because that's the next verse you're going to go to. And what does John 3:3 say? "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Now you're going to ask a different question when you get to this verse. And you're going to ask this question: why did Jesus come to die? Why did He come to die? And folks, it's hinging off the previous two. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then you're going to move on from there. The next verse you're going to have, you're going to write it at the top of your margin, is John 14:6. What does John 14:6 say? "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.'" Folks, that puts everything aside, doesn't it? Because some people are trusting in religion to get themselves into heaven. Or they're trusting in some denomination to get them into heaven. Folks, there is only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are you doing? You're letting them read it. So when they come to the conclusion that it's not through a religion, but it's through a person, they're left there standing in their own conviction. They have read it themselves. That's how come this is sharing your faith without an argument. And you're going to ask them the question, after they read it out loud, what does this say to you? And folks, you're just stepping back. You're just an instrument turning pages and asking the same questions, with the exception of John 3:3. And at the top of John 14:6, in the margin of your Bible, you're going to write Romans 10, verses 9 through 11. You know what that says? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, 'Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame.'" And you're going to ask what question? What does it say to you? So you have them reading the Scriptures out loud, and you're asking them, what does this say to you? And you're waiting to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. You're letting the Holy Spirit work. Now you might find, you share one or two of these verses and God opens up a person's heart. Bill Fay shares in his presentation that we'll see next week that one of the verses he shared, I think it was Romans 3:23, the very first verse he shared, he asked the lady, "What does it say to you?" And she said, "I need to ask Jesus Christ in my life to be my Lord and Savior because I'm a sinner." And that verse didn't say that, did it? It didn't say it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the Holy Spirit was working on her heart. You see, it has been shared when it comes to how many times a person has to hear the gospel before he receives it. I don't know where they get these statistics, but They share that it takes an average of 7.6 times for someone to hear the gospel before he receives it. Now, I don't know where the 0.6 comes in, and you might be that 0.6 that shares it, right? Or you might be number 5 in the line. But you know what happens sometimes, folks? We share the gospel with someone, they don't respond the way we want to, and we just shut it up and leave them alone. We don't say anything else to them. Folks, if you love them, you'll seek to love them to Jesus. And you'll seek to share with them. Next verse you want to write at the top of your margin, right there where Romans 10, 9 through 11 is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. And it says this, "He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." And you're going to ask the question, what does this say to you? Now, if any of these verses that you're presenting, that you're uncomfortable with, you're welcome to change the verses to verses that you understand more clearly, verses that you feel more comfortable in sharing. But if you will stick with a process as you learn the process, you know where you're going. See, sometimes we stumble all over ourselves because we don't know where we're going. You know, we're here in a situation, we have an opportunity to present Christ, and they start responding and giving you a chance to share, and you start stumbling all over yourself. Or you get into rabbit trails. I remember one time, years ago, sitting in the living room with a young man and seeking to share the gospel with him, and he got us on a rabbit trail, and I took it. And we were all over the Bible. At that point, we had nothing to do with the gospel. We weren't even talking about the gospel anymore. We were talking about some interpretation in some other passage. You got to stop yourself from that. You don't want to get off on other issues because the issue at hand is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the last verse that you want to write right there in the margin of 2 Corinthians 5:15 is Revelation 3:20. What does Revelation 3:20 say? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." And you're going to ask what question? What does this say to you? Now let me ask you, or share with you, when the last scripture is read aloud, what do you do at that point? Well, there are 5 more questions you want to ask. They're very simple questions. All of the questions are based upon those 7 verses. Let me give them to you. The first one is this: are you a sinner? Now, what did you hear when I asked that question? Romans 3:23? Romans 6:23? What's the answer? Yes, I'm a sinner. Next question: do you want forgiveness of sins? Do you want forgiveness of sins? The third question: do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again? Remember Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be what? Saved. The fourth question: are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? See, we must bring it to the place of commitment. And that's what these last questions give, is it brings it all down to a commitment. You know what the devil wants to do? He'll let you go through the first 5 verses, or first 5 questions. He'll let you go through the 7 verses as long as you don't bring it to a close. As long as you don't bring it to a commitment. Because he doesn't want you to bring it to that point. In fact, he'll fight with you to make sure you don't even share the scriptures, because the scriptures are powerful. Right? He was sharing in one situation where they were sharing with a young man, and the man was really involved in drugs and everything, and went through these questions with him and got to the point of flipping through the pages of scripture and sharing the verses. And the first verse he shared, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And he asked him, "What does it say to you?" And he said, another voice came out. It wasn't the man's voice. It was another voice. And he was saying that he can't be saved. And he kept going on with that other voice. And so his response was, "Read it again." And he kept telling him, "Read it again, read it again, read it again," until the Spirit of God broke through and brought him to a place of humility. You know, that's why I find, folks, sometimes you hear about people running around and casting out demons out of under every bush, and they got a name for every demon, the demon of postnasal drip and all of the above. Folks, we don't understand the spiritual, the kingdom of darkness that we're dealing with. And I tell you what, folks, when you commit yourself to the Word of God and you commit yourself to share the gospel with someone, you find out what kind of warfare is taking place. Well, the first question, are you a sinner? The second one, do you want forgiveness of sins? The third, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again? The fourth question, are you willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ? And then the fifth question, are you ready to invite Jesus into your life and into your heart? Now, when you ask this last question, let me give you a principle. You want to be silent and pray. Don't say anything. Just wait. Bill Fay says, you have to realize the dynamics that are taking place. The Holy Spirit is working in this one's heart. The angels are rooting for you. The Word of God is applying pressure to this one's very bone and marrow. You, my friend, need to sit in stark silence. I cannot emphasize how important prayer is at this moment. This could be the height of spiritual warfare. Satan hates what is about to take place. Pray whatever you feel led to pray. Often I look at the person who is doing battle with God and pray in my mind that God will be merciful. I pray Satan will be bound, yet I do not open my mouth until my lost friend breaks his silence. You know what we do sometimes? We want to give them the answers. We want to answer it for them. Here's what you need to do. And here, all this process is saying, let's let the Holy Spirit do His work. This is His business. Salvation is His work. God didn't call you to save anybody. Now, praise God, He didn't call me to save anybody. Yes, there's pressure when you preach and about people responding and things, folks, but I don't really have anything to do with that either. And I'll tell you what I don't want to do is I don't want to jerk people's emotions around and get them to come down on the wrong reasons. So you need to be silent and pray. Well, folks, I want to take a moment for us to be silent and pray at this time as well. And before you leave tonight, I have a booklet that I want to give you, which goes in detail everything that I shared with you tonight. And it's this little booklet right here, How to Share My Faith Without an Argument. And it gives you all the scriptures I've shared tonight. It tells you through detail how to do this process. But folks, we're going to talk about it in detail even more in the next coming weeks during discipleship training. And I want to encourage everyone to take time and make a commitment to be a part of that. Now, I realize if we have so many people in there and we can't do the personal aspect of it, that we may have to split it up and maybe make it go a little longer or start the class and run it twice. We'll just see what the Lord does at that. But I do want to encourage you to put your name on the sign-up sheet that's next door on the bulletin board. It says, Share Jesus Without Fear. It says, Sign Up. And just write your name on there. But I want us right now to be silent before the Lord and ask Him that He'll use this in our life. There are many methods of sharing Christ. And there are probably more methods that are better than this one. Folks, the issue is, are we sharing Christ? That's the issue. And the thing is, too, you can know a method and not share Christ. You could hide behind one of your fears. Folks, the goal is that we want to win people to Christ. You look around you right now and you see empty seats. And you've been looking at empty seats for some time. Folks, wouldn't you like to see people that you've led to the Lord sitting in those seats? Well, it's not going to happen if you don't step out and trust God and begin to share your faith. And it's not all one person's job. God called me to be an equipper. That's what Ephesians 4:11 and 12 talks about. The work of the ministry is yours. We're to do the work of the ministry. So God didn't call you to be a pew sitter. He called you to serve. He called you to get busy and serve Him. And part of that service is sharing your faith.